If you can stand, please. Thank you. I'm just going to close this meeting, and I'm just kidding. If you have to go, God bless you, but hopefully you'll stay a little longer. If you wouldn't mind just raising your hands this morning to our King. I know that we have sung to Him already. I'm so grateful to Jesus for who He is. Aren't you delighted this morning that we have someone to believe in, not something? Friends, that is so important because we become very religious very quickly if it's about something. But this relationship with Jesus Christ is with someone. And everyone in this room has the privilege to know Jesus themselves, to walk with Him themselves. This Jesus who came to save this world, this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, who is the answer for every need of every person anywhere on this planet. This God of the universe, this message of the gospel that is for all of mankind is a message for individuals. For every person in this room, we can have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, this morning, our hands are raised to You again in full acknowledgement that Jesus, You are who You say You are. And You have done what You said You have done. And because of that and only that, we have redemption in this room this morning. We have forgiveness of all sins. He who knew no sin became sin, didn't sin, became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. In nothing that we have ever done, but in everything that You, Jesus, have already done, we become the righteousness of God. This morning our hearts are stirred by grace, our hearts are stirred by truth, our hearts are stirred that this relationship is not based on others, but on our own relationship with You, our own revelation of You. And this morning, would You reveal again who Jesus is? Would You remind the church this morning of this incredible truth? Not only do we love Your name, but we love You, Jesus. We are passionate about You this morning. We gather this morning in Your name with power and authority to heal, to deliver, to restore, to stir us, to convince us of a future that is far greater than the history that we have all experienced. And we press on and upwards this morning into the glory of our great and mighty King. We say, blessed be Your name today. Come and share over us. Come and speak life over us. Come and liberate this morning. Come and reveal again. Come and show us how we fit into Your great plan this morning. Individuals fitting into the great plan of rescuing this world, that our King may come back in His full glory and splendor. And so have Your way amongst us in this room. Come and connect with You. Holy Spirit, would You meet with every person, young and old, those who are close to You and those who are far from You. Bring them in. Bring us in to greater things this morning, we pray, as we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. Please take your seats. I appreciate that. It is a great privilege to be here this morning. Thank you. I echo what's been said already. Thank you for hosting our GTT this weekend. Honestly, without you guys, it would not have been possible, and it wouldn't have been such a great success. We are, like Nicole said, very grateful to God that we have friends all over the world. But more than friends, we have partners in this gospel. And I want to thank this church because you have partnered with us through many things, through many dangers, toils, and snares. We have been through things together. This church has been through some stuff. We've been through some stuff. But together we're stronger. And I want to thank you for, like Nicole said, for opening your hands and releasing this couple on our team, as well as your leaders and you guys who are traveling the nations and blessing the nations and being an impact across the world. We really do thank you for that. We are stronger together, and we recognize this is a biblical thing. We want to be friends with everyone, but we're only being called to partner with some. And we're so glad that this is the partnership we have. So I don't come, I hope, as a guest speaker this morning. I'm a friend of this church. I pray for this church. We pray for this region a lot. We care about this region. We celebrate your victories. We sadden with some defeats, with some of the pain you go through. We go through with you. That's how we work. We're up with you. We're down with you. But we together are carrying on with the purposes of God. And so I want to thank you for your generosity, honestly. And just your carrying on with what God. I love the new name of this church. And I know it's not new to you, but it's new to me. Because last time I was here, you were called something different. I want to tell you it's a great name. It stirs things in me. I want to preach on that, the bridge, whenever I think about your name. And I do believe it's. I don't even know what the guys have been preaching around this. But I do think it is the promises of God to be fulfilled in what's still to come. This church has an incredible history. I mean, I don't even know if you know. Some of you who maybe are recent to this church. This is an old church. How many years? 100 years old. Anyone in the house, 100 years old. All right, so none of you were from the inception of this church. But this I want to tell you. It's been 100 years of the divine purposes and plans of God. And here's the deal, friends. Many of us in this room were never in a lot of it. But God has never moved his purposes to somewhere else or through someone else. It's always been a handpicked bunch who are based in this region and to impact the people around them. And many have come and many have tried to kill this and many have tried to stop it. And I'm not even blaming people. I'm just saying the purposes of God will not be stopped. People will come, people will go. Here's the bad news and the good news. If your faith is wrapped up in the people around you exclusively, your future is very bleak. See, I was always taught that my future is wrapped up in those around us. The problem is many people around us left us. And when they leave, does that mean my future's gone? My destiny can't be wrapped up in just those around me. It's got to be wrapped up in someone who doesn't ever leave me, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying we don't need each other. Please hear me. But if somebody gets mad here and leaves this church, it doesn't mean your destiny's over, because Jesus Christ is building this church. And Jesus Christ is looking for people who will embrace what he is doing and point people to him and invest in him. And as I keep saying, throw our anchor in him. And he's the one who is the future. Faithfulness to him. Freedom through him. Your future's wrapped up in the unchanging one. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes in his promises. You know, Jesus doesn't have to keep promising. You know that, like we have to, I promise you, I promise you. Jesus doesn't have to. Why? Because he doesn't change in his promises. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't have to keep saying that. Why? Because when he said it, it's going to happen. But we better make sure he said it. But if he did say it, it's going to happen. And so he never changes in his promises. He doesn't have to keep promising. He said it once, it's the promises of God. What God spoke, friends, what Jesus spoke, what he promised us, salvation, grace, eternal freedom, all this stuff. It's not something we're hoping for. It's the guaranteed assurance. Can I suggest hope's not enough for me today? I don't want hope. I want assurance. Because there's a lot of people living with empty hope. But Jesus Christ assures us. We have an assurance, a guaranteed hope. Isn't that awesome? I'm excited about Jesus, I'm sure. But I'm telling you, friends, keep your focus on Jesus. He's faithful in his promises. He's faithful in his power. He never changes in his power. How many believe he has all authority and power? Well, how do we know that? Because the Bible says that. He said that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Can you imagine that? I mean, I know some people of authority. And they command and control a lot of stuff. But Jesus has been given all authority. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. He's got that authority. He has never changed in that authority. It's been given to him. Somewhere God gave it to him, and Jesus still has it and will always have it. So he doesn't change in his authority, regardless of the stuff we might walk through. regardless of the things that are happening around us, that perhaps we think, gee, it's hard to believe Jesus is in control when I see what's happening. But he is in control because he's unchanging in his authority, power. The same power that he had then is the same power he has today. And may I suggest he's empowered the church to walk in some of that power today in 2014 here in Toronto or Pickering, Canada. You and I, not some of us, all of us, have been entrusted with his power. He never changes. I love this about Jesus. He never changes in his personality. He's not up one day and down the next. You never know what you're going to get with some people. With Jesus, you know what you're going to get every time because he does not change. He's not moody. He's not angry. He's not mad at you one day and sad with the next day. He loves us, friends, and he's unchanging, and he doesn't have bad days like us. That's important to know because I meet some bad people who are having bad days and mood swings and all this stuff, but Jesus is not moody. I got to know. And when some of us feel far from Jesus, one day we feel really close, and the next day we feel really far. May I suggest, if he doesn't change, who changed? Who moved? Okay. Jesus is awesome. He really is. And he has never left this church, never left individuals in this church. When you've swayed and strayed, he's brought you back. He loves you. And he loves the future of this church. And it's his purposes, not this couple in the front or these elders' purposes. It's not your purposes. Your purposes will not stand. Their purposes will not stand. But God's purposes will. And my suggestion is stay focused on Christ. Keep him as the main message, mandate, ministry, mission. And that, my friends, will guarantee this church to fulfill everything God destined for this church, regardless of who comes and who goes. The plans of the Lord stand forever. Amen. The bridge. Very clearly, the Bible teaches that the church is not the plan of God. Jesus is the plan of God. The church is not the center of God's plan, contrary to what many believe. Jesus Christ is the center of God's plan. Jesus has come to save. Jesus is the only one who can save. Jesus is the longing of the nations. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's Jesus, 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 who is the center of God's plan. However, if you read through scripture very quickly, you see that the church is central to God's plan. We are not it, but we're central to it, where Jesus is the center of it. And we've got to differentiate, friends, because many present the church as we're it, and others present that Jesus is it. Together we get the job done, because Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus Christ is building his church, of which we are the body. And friends, we need our head in place. We've all heard it many times said that a church or a body without a head is a corpse, dead. I want to speak about some life this morning and this life-giving power that we have been commissioned to touch the world out there. But this I've got to tell you, if our head's not in place, we're a dead corpse. No life, even the promised life, can't have life if the head's not in place. A body without a head is a corpse. A church without the head in place is dead, is a corpse, has no power. Even though we can claim scripture, we cannot walk in that power till Jesus Christ truly is the head of our lives and the head of this church. Could you say amen to that? So as we talk about this power that's been given to us, and I'm convinced it's part of your future, although you've walked in much of this in your history, I'm absolutely convinced that the bridge, this church has a... I love the picture of a bridge. I mean, I like bridges. I'm just being honest. And I think we named this church after you. Is that what we did? No, I'm just joking. I'm only joking. Sorry. That was a bad joke. take that back. Delete. Start again. I'm only having some fun. But I'm just trying to make you happy. All like you picked it up too, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. But honestly, I a bridge. What is a bridge? I mean, a bridge, isn't it something that helps take someone from point A, who's on one side of a chasm, across to point B? It's a connector. Are you there? Are you there? To be called the bridge, you got to be the bridge. And there's many ways to present that, but one I've got to tell you, obviously, I love how your mission statement is connect all people to the word, to God, God's word and God's spirit. I love that. But let me also tell you, to connect God, people to God, to Jesus, to one another, lonely people are connected into something. People are impacted and changed. It's about taking people from somewhere and bringing them into something. And to have a mission statement like that, you've got to be doing that. Now, this isn't do more. This is understand your role and your responsibility and what I believe is so vital for the church in this season. We know that the text that we keep quoting is God has determined the exact places and times where we should live. Acts 17, verse 26. God determined the exact place and time where you and I live, Paul says. He determined not just the place but the time. He called you here in this place, in this season, for however long you're here, friend. He put you here. And it goes on to say that man would seek God and reach out and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So you and I in this room have been handpicked by God to be in the place where we're at, time and place, to be the bridge, to connect people to God, that people will find God because you're living here right now. Not just because you come to this church, because you're living and being the bridge out there, being the church out there and connecting people to God, because that's what bridges do. Take people from one side of a chasm and bring them across to some, spanning the, whatever the word is, to that side of there. That's what we've been called to do. Every person in this room. It's about impacting. I said this weekend, if you ask. It's about impacting, friends. It's about influencing, and it's about increasing. The increase of His government will know no end. There is nothing diminishing about His kingdom. Even at times where we can't see it, His kingdom is always increasing. And we've been called as His people to be a people out there who are bringing the increase of His rule and reign. The kingdom of God, I believe the kingdom is simply the rule and reign of God. Wherever God rules and reigns, the kingdom has come. And we have this responsibility for His rule and reign in our own lives, for those around us in this local church. But out there, we want to advance the kingdom for the King to return soon. Where you work, where you go to school, where you connect with other parents, whatever you're doing, friend, please hear me. I know this is obvious, but if you think it's going to happen here on a Sunday, you're missing the mandate from heaven because it's not here. This is almost like the halftime. This is almost when you bring the players together and you have a little chat and a coach, and I'm not the coach, nor is Mark or any preacher here. Jesus is the coach who's sharing a strategy to equip us to move out from here and be the church. See, what happens here doesn't stay here. And a lot of people have this go-to mentality. We go to church, we do the church thing on a Sunday, the rest of the week, we just kind of blend in and we're part of the package and we're the go-to rather, we're the come-to church rather than the go out there and be the church. Now I know we know this here, but I'm asking here because your future requires you to be a people who are mixing out there and bridging the gap between people that they may come to Jesus like never before. All cultures, friends, in this culture. I hear this is a very diverse place. Well, let me tell you, Jesus doesn't want just you to reach some of those people, but all of them. You in this room need a heart to be able to connect with unemployed people who have nothing, who are living on the streets, as well as the rich and famous. If they live there, we should reach them. And some of us are drawn to the money guys. Well, can I say, get excited about those who have nothing. But those of us who all lean to mercy ministry, let's get merciful about those who have a lot. Because they are as lost as those who have nothing. And we kind of differentiate. I like these kind of people. No, we love all kinds of people because Jesus came for those cities and those people who are out there who seem to have it all together, who have nothing, and those who seem to have nothing might have something. Are you there? It's not what we can get from them, it's what can we give to them. Here's the thing I said this week somewhere. That we always crying out for God for our city. Give me my city, give me my city. And that's a great prayer, but it's, I think, a wrong prayer. Because I look through Scripture and I realize if it's about impact, increase, and influence, then God doesn't give cities to churches. But God gives churches to cities. To impact the city for the kingdom. So God loved Pickering so much that he not just sent his son alone, but he sent his son who died in place. We get all that. But he also planted this church and has changed its name and has changed it. But it hasn't changed the purposes of God. God loved Pickering and the greater area of Toronto and the greater Canada and the United States and the whole world. That he planted you people together here in this place because he loved this city enough to say, you are here to impact them. God's gift to a city, this local church. Impacting them, reaching out and touching them. You know, amazing how God never told the world to go to the church. But he did tell the church to go to the world. We got back to front at times. And I'm convinced that when we, and I get to travel a lot and I get to see some wonderful buildings and facilities of which this is one. It's amazing though when I travel, not here, but everywhere else, people want to show me their building. What do you think? And seating capacity, and we're all impressed with seating capacity. But I've got to tell you, a mark from Scripture of a great church is not how many seats are in the building, not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. This is not a slogan, this is biblical. It's not an American slogan I've come up with. Friend, it's not how many can you seat in this building. That's important. But how many can be raised up to be released to reach and connect out there where the people are desperate to find this bridge between us and God. See, I'm on this mission to remind the church, including the church that I lead, that we've been commissioned beyond some building. Jesus didn't give us a commission to fill a building. He commissioned us to fill the earth, to multiply, to touch lives, to impact people. And I'm convinced, honestly, friends, we will never walk in the Great Commission if we haven't understood the Great Commandment. What is the Great Commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of people that say, oh, we love God. Oh, I love God. But I don't like people. Me and God. There's many people today who have done the church thing and it's just me and God. I don't need church. I don't need people. I dislike people immensely. Well, friend, you haven't understood the Great Commandment. So you'll never walk in the Great Commission if you don't like people. For God has called us to love Him, not just with a mind. He pretty much was saying, love Him with everything. If you're not loving God with everything, you won't walk in the Great Commission. Everything means not just I have a heart for you and now and then on a Sunday I'm touched when we sing some cool songs. I'm giving my all. I've sowed in. I so love God that everything that is mine is His. Even my relationship with my spouse and my family and my children and that wonderful house that I have and that wonderful car that I have. All those things are blessings, but they are, I'm loving God with them. Because if I'm not loving Him with those things, it's going to be hard to love other people. And it's definitely going to be more difficult to walk in a great commission of caring for others more than myself. Are those things wrong to have? Not at all. If God gave them to you, enjoy them. But don't, like the Israelites, always make the blessing become the curse. Are you there, friends? I'm not into this poverty gospel because Jesus never preached it. But I'm also not into this prosperity gospel where the blessing takes the place of the reason we have what we have. And we need to live with blessing and we need to live with at times with what we don't have. But Jesus didn't come to give security here on earth and to give us wealth. Just read what He said when He talked about following Him. He said, it's uncomfortable to follow me. You've got to give it up. Who wants that? Jesus said that's what it means. So to love God with everything. Don't feel bad if you have something. Someone came to me this weekend and said, you know, I feel so bad. I'm putting words in their mouth, but they kind of had listened to what happens in Asia right now and some of the Chinese guys and the churches and all the stuff they're facing. And they like feel so bad that it's not happening here. Now I've got to tell you, God didn't call you to China. He called you here. Now the point is, don't ask for God to bring persecution here, but know this, you've got to live in what you're called to here and not feel bad because you're not called to Poland or the US or whatever. You're free to be where God puts you to be and enjoy the benefits of being here, but don't buy into the culture here. Stay true to who you're called to be. Are you there? Don't feel guilty because you live here. You didn't choose to live here. We just told you, God determined you to live here. But be a blessing and don't make that your obsession. So the great commandment is love God with everything as well as love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love the people around? Can I suggest and address you Canadians for a moment? Real Canadians. The ones who say, hey. The ones who say, what you talking about? Those ones, you know? The ones who drink Tim Hortons. Are you mad? And I'm probably going to step on your toes. And Mark only invites me every like 4 years to preach here anyway. So don't worry. I won't come. Joking. Are you mad with all these immigrants here? Don't answer me, because I'm one of them. But do you like, gee, they're taking over our world? Well, maybe they are. Maybe you do need to step up with some stuff. But this I've got to tell you, God has brought the nations to you. I mean, hello? And I know they may be changing your world, but you should be changing their lives. You don't even have to get on a plane to go too far. This is apparently, Toronto is like this multicultural place. Yeah, hello? Of which God handpicked you to be here in this time with all this stuff going on. This is, I told you, and I spoke yesterday about the church needs to wake up. There's a battle blazing, not against flesh and blood. But you can reach these people. Why? Because you love God with everything. Therefore, I'm going to love my neighbor. And it's not literally the guy who lives next door to you with all due respect. It's those who are around us, those who are different to us, those who God put in our way daily, not on a Sunday who I sit next to. So the Great Commission means nothing if we haven't understood the Great Commandment. But then there is the Great Commission. And Jesus spoke of it. And if we had time, we'd go read every one of the first five books of the New Testament. And it's in there clearly the breadth of the Great Commission, the depth of the Great Commission, the extent of the Great Commission are all through the first five books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. People are all about the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to suggest we have the purpose for the Holy Spirit is that we may be witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What does that mean? Everywhere, all the time. I love it. It was David Livingstone who said, if we were to be commissioned by an earthly king, it would be an honor. But to be commissioned by a heavenly king is a sacrifice. You guys still honor the queen, I believe, in this place, right? Can you imagine the queen called you and said, I'm going to commission you. I mean, would it be a big deal? You'd be like so honored that the Queen has recognized you and commissioned you. It would be the honor of your life. Yet when Jesus Christ commissions us, we take it at the greatest sacrifice we can ever have. Now, I want to suggest there might be a price to it, but let's begin to look at the privilege of being commissioned by a heavenly king of which we have eternal ramifications for every single thing we are involved in. I'm tired of hearing about this tough Great Commission or this difficult, and I'm tired of preaching about the sacrifice of a Great Commission. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest privilege on earth to be commissioned by a king. Would you trust you with his kingdom? Would you trust me with your kingdom? Let me be honest. I wouldn't trust any of you in this room with my kingdom, including me. But that's this thing. You talk about grace. It's not just salvation. It's trusting us, advancing and extending his kingdom here on earth. I'm not trying to be fake. I'm honest here. Just think about what he's entrusted us with. Oh, I got this heavy yoke over me. What is it? I've got to be a living sacrifice. I've got to be a great commission person. Great commission. What happened to the great of this commission? The burden of a commission. I'm carrying the weight of the world. You have not been called to carry any weight. If you carry the weight and the burden of the world, give it back to Jesus. I mean it, friends. You must hurt when you see stuff around, but don't carry the weight of this commission. See it as a great commission and the privilege of not doing something, but being someone. Go and be a follower of Christ and you will be witnessing to people, because it's not a duty, it's a lifestyle, according to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Witnessing is not some duty we put on. The early church, it was an identity. Be a witness rather than go and do witness. Are you there? What a joy. I'm privileged to be part of a great commission. I really am. All right. I'm trying to get somewhere here. We have to have a heart for neighbors and nations. Some people are all about their city, their city, their city. And I know God called you to the middle of the center of the world is right here, because you live here. I get that. I believe that about my city too. But God didn't say, when you get your city thing happening, then go to the nations. God's called us to be a people of neighbors and nations. You know, let me tell you this. In this place, failure to win a city, I believe, is failure to win nations. Because the nations are here. And so we've got to have a heart to impact this city and the people around. Because I'm telling you, friends, people will go back and win nations and city where they've come from, whether they're visiting, whether they're studying. I mean, I've met people today who are here for 10 months and they're trying to stay here. But if God does send them back, they're going to go and win that nation. You know, we could say, what a waste of time investing in people knowing they're going to leave. It happens. I get the pain of that. People, Nicole and I often talk about, we build so strong with these people around us, and then they have to, God sends them to plant, and our families hurt, and we plant them out. And it's just part of the package. And people have said to me in the past, I don't know if I want to get close to people, because I know whenever I get close to them, they're going to leave. And my heart can't take that. Well, let me ask you, parents who have children. You know, if you're a good parent, your kids are only home for a season. My kids are awesome, but they're going to leave my home soon, God willing, one day. No, I'm joking. I'm okay. I love my sons. But then my thing is, because my sons are going to leave one day, do I hold back from them? Or do I invest while I have time with them, my life, I give them my all, because I'm setting them up to be who God called them to be, and I'm enjoying the season with them. We've got to see it a little like that. Not I'm holding back, I don't want to get hurt again. Are you there, friend? Whether they're here for 10 months, 5 months, 2 years, 10 years, you might think you're here forever. Let me tell you, God could move you on. And it's not, it's an investment. And not only did I receive something, can I suggest if God moves you on one day from this church, God willing, there will be something happening in this church because you were here. You've left something of fruit that carries on, because failure means you've left and it's done. Are you there? That the city would be different because this church is here. I'm convinced that is God's desire. Still is. I know it's in the heart of this leadership. The problem is, to engage the peace of this city, we need to get involved in some of the conflicts of our city. We've got to get out there and mix. And I think, unfortunately, certainly in the United States, and I would say maybe in Canada today, you have mostly three views of the church, church's views of their city today. First one is they view their city with apathy. Most churches today are based in a city, operating in their city, but they have meetings for their people. They have programs for the church, and they run stuff like there's no city even involved out there. They totally switched off to the city around them. That's apathy, friends. God hasn't called you to be a church in the city. Other churches, I know many of them, that have this attitude of they are against their city. You're not going to reach these people if you're against them. You're not going to enjoy and walk in the Great Commission if you are anti these people. And so they stand against them. The churches that actually believe that they're awesome and the people out there in the city are horrible, and they just treat them with disdain and they talk down about them, and they feel they're evil and we're good and we need to stay away from evil. I'm glad Jesus didn't do that. Now, I'm not saying go mix with them and become like them. I'm saying know this. Care about those people that are not in this building today. Hey? And I think that's most tragic of the views today is most churches are trying to be like their city. They're imitating their city, thinking they're going to win people like that. Friends, Jesus didn't put this church here to be like the city here. You're not a church like the city or of the city. May I be strong enough to say, you are a church for the city. And that changes everything. Now, if that be the case, let me ask you honestly, does your model match your mission and mandate? The mission is to be impacting the people around us. The name of this church, the mission statement, I love it. But does the model, do you actually have the model in place? And not some model you set up, the heart to be that and actually go and do that. Because to talk about it, pray about it, and not do it is to miss the point of the Great Commission. Now, I'm not saying you have missed it. I believe you have walked it. But I believe your future requires you to say, there's some adjustments. And here's the one thing I'm going to bring up this morning that I'm convinced is still the key to every city being unlocked. Now, I'm not giving you some method here this morning because I don't believe in methodology that you can pick up from some person. I believe you've got to find God's strategy. Every church, local church, of the makeup who they have in the church and of the call and the people around them, you've got to find God's strategy for your city, for your region. I do believe that. You can learn from others, but don't implement what others are doing. But I've got to tell you, there is one thing that is common right through Scripture and right through even, I think, every city needs this. They need the church to walk in the power and the healing of Christ. I know that this church has heard much about miracles, but I've got to tell you this. The key to unlocking this city still is miracles. Not flying the evangelist in to come unlock it. The church walking in the power that Jesus promised to all people. If you go and read in Acts chapter 3, an incredible story. Still one of those liberating stories for me. Peter and John, you know the story, are on their way to pray. And they walk past the gate called Beautiful, and there's this man who's begging. Now you've got to remember the context. That man had been a beggar all his life, and he had always been crippled. He was born that way. So I believe even Jesus walked past that man in Jesus' day. I certainly believe Peter and John walked past that man every morning and every day because they went to pray every day. But they walked past, and you know the story, the man cried out for some money. And they looked at him, and they said, silver and gold we do not have. Aren't you glad they didn't have money? Because if they did, they would have tossed him some money and carried on. And what would have happened? Nothing. May I suggest that God hasn't taken money away from the church, but he's allowed the church to lose some checks and some money and not have what we always were at, because it's easier to write a check to some society and make sure that they're fed than to actually go out there and touch the city around us. They didn't have money. And they said, we don't have money. What you want is our money, but actually what you need. And they looked at him, and they said this, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And that man stood up and walked. And he became jumping and leaping and praising God. And here's the thing, nobody saw the miracle happen. They didn't shout and scream and proclaim in this weird voice, shabba habba dabba dab, and freak people out. And they didn't all come running because they heard about this great prayer or this amazing apostle or disciple shouting and exclaiming stuff. They saw a miracle because they saw the man who used to be the beggar running and walking for the first time. And what happened was they ran to where Peter and John, and Peter and John realized that there's people are all running to them. What a time for the church. I've often been challenged by this truth. They came running. Thousands of people became running, started running towards it. And if I had an opportunity, or if we had an opportunity, not what do we think we should say, what would we truly say? If you had an opportunity to address the greater area of Pickering and so on. What about Toronto? That something happens miraculously and everybody hears about the TV cameras and everybody show up. And now the bridge has a moment to share something with a greater area. As a pastor, I'm fearful to think what I would share. Because most of us would stand up and unintentionally, but straight out of the heart say, you see, you need the church here. We've got this meeting on a Sunday and a Wednesday night. We've got childcare here. We've got all these services of feeding the poor and taking care of, and those are not wrong things, but that was the wrong message. If I had the opportunity as a church planter in the city that we planted in 5 years ago to address my whole city, I wonder what I would say. Probably you need to come to our church. We need some help. And by the way, government, you can see we need some financial backing because we're doing a heck of a lot here. But Peter realized there's a moment here. And he looked to them and he said, do you think I've done this? The church would say, we did this. Our God, yeah, but we actually did this. Come on. You need us to come and help you. Let me sit at the council seat. Let me go and sit with the president, the prime minister. You need me. I'm just addressing some cultural stuff here, friends, because can God trust us with our city? Peter said, you think we've done this? Let me tell you who did this. And he begins to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in actual fact, he said, the one that you crucified. Not, oh, God loves you, there's grace for you. We present grace without people knowing why they need grace. The one that you crucified is the one who did this. And they cried out, what must we do to be saved? See, we present salvation without people even knowing they need to be saved. Are you with me, friends? And he says, repent. Repent. That's the true gospel. Repent and be baptized. They responded. And the Bible says that they were arrested and taken away. But here's the thing. 3,000 people were added that day. People were added that day. Not to some big church, but to the gathering of being called out to go and have an impact in the city again. I marvel at that story. And I'm in our church saying, guys, we've got to impact our city. We're connecting with the mayor. We're connecting with other churches. We're doing what we can. But I've got to tell you, some healings, some significant breakouts, not in our meetings, but out on the streets. And I believe God wants to heal people in this room today, so don't get me wrong. But I don't believe, if you read through Scripture, more people got healed outside of the church than in the church. Why is that? Because God wants to demonstrate His power to the people who don't believe, so they can believe. So they will believe. We say, well, you know, he wants you to believe in faith, not just in signs. We take one text where he talks about you look for signs and demand signs. He actually healed people many times, Jesus, without them knowing he was Jesus. And because he healed them, they believed in him. I've said this many times. If I can talk Mark into this kingdom, somebody can talk him out of this kingdom. But if we can present truth and allow the Holy Spirit to touch and bring healing, when you've seen it, you say, I believe. I want to tell you, friends, maybe you and I were called to believe without seeing at times. But there's a city out there that God has said, I will reveal my glory to them through you so they would believe in my Son Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus went about convincing and proving that he was alive. Our job is not just to talk about a Jesus who's risen from the dead, but to go and convince and prove that he's alive. And one of them is not look at the testimony alone of my church. Look at my life-changed experience. Not look how better I am. He transformed me from the inside out. He set me free. We sang a song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Here's the deal. He's not floating around here. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. Are you free? If you're not, you can't be a testimony to people out there. Are you there? I'm not even getting to my notes. It's probably better that way. I haven't looked at my notes, have I? Have I read any scriptures? Oh, Lord, help me. There's no greater testimony than to demonstrate his power. Now, friends, I get, how many of you have prayed for people before and they haven't been healed? Put your hand up, please. Okay, great. Welcome to the club. There is not one person on this planet who have prayed for people and haven't experienced that too. In actual fact, there were places where Jesus, the Son of God, anointed by the Father, went and could do very few miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. I'm convinced God is stirring this church again. Not because Tyron's here, because Keir Taylor came here recently or someone else. Because God handpicked you to demonstrate to this city again and again that what you are saying is true. And in North America, I would include Canada. That's why I'm saying North America. Health, sickness, disease, mental disease, it is worse and worse. I don't think we've ever had the great opportunity like we do today to actually see God touch people's lives physically, emotionally, when it comes to healing. I look at our nation, and I'm being honest, with us trying to Obamacare and trying to make this free and medication. It's just, there are so many people on drugs today for health. And if you're on drugs this morning, I have no problem. I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just saying, what a time for God to release you from that. What a time for the church to release healing to people who are desperate for healing. And can you imagine the opportunity to present Christ to people who are touched? One or two major miracles. Every miracle. And there's no greater miracle than salvation. I want to just tell you that. Because we can pray for people. They can get healed. They're still going to hell if they don't know Jesus. We can pull people out of wheelchairs. If they're not saved, they're going to hell. Just without a wheelchair. I'm not mocking. I'm serious. We focus so much on the healing. Don't! I'm focusing on Christ this morning. But this I know. For us to demonstrate who Christ is, we need some miracles to happen again. And it's not because they had it in the book of Acts. It's because he still has it for the church today in this place. And the church is you and I. And if you don't believe in Christ and you believe in him to this morning, you that moment become a child of God and you're part of the church and you have the power to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. One of my favorite verses that I know that people kind of roll their eyes when they hear it again. But if Jesus said it, I love the word of God, but when it's in red, Jesus is my obsession. He said it. I like the whole Bible, but he said it. Yeah. This wasn't penned by some dude. This was the spoken word of Jesus in red. And he said in John 14 verse 12, the things you've seen me do. You will do. I mean, just to do that, I'd be overwhelmed. But then he went on and said, and you will do greater than these. For I am going to be with my Father. His earthly mission was over. He came to teach us how to live, how to minister. Then he said, it's best that I go now and I will release the Holy Spirit. He will come. You need the Holy Spirit more than you do me, is what Jesus was saying. And then you're going to walk in the stuff that I walked in, and I'm going to go and do my earthly, my heavenly mission, and I'm going to intercede on your behalf, and I'm going to pray on your behalf, and I'm going to stand in the gap for you, and I'm going to watch you walk in the power that I said you can. And the church sits on their hands waiting for the evangelist to come do the job. I'm not angry. I'm mad at the devil. And I'm telling you, we've been lied to because we've prayed once or twice and it didn't work. Well, my friend, it's time to pray again. And you know what? Here's the good news. You can't heal one person. And the thing about healing is this. There is a message locked up in the healing. The Great Commission cannot happen without healing. We talk about a Great Commission, get on airplanes and go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to Halifax. I heard that is the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to Poland. And again, don't stop doing that. But that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not something you go do. It's someone you are where you live too. Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, your city, friend. It's easier, being honest, to go and do it somewhere else. No one knows you. Everyone trusts you. But it's more difficult to do where you live. And God determined where you live, not where you visit. This region can't wait for the evangelists to come in and touch people's lives. They have Jesus in the church here. The bridge. Who has a heart to be a church for the city and for the nations. But God wants to release some more power through this church to touch everyday lives with healing that convinces people that Jesus is not some prophet of old. Not some Israel teacher. But he's the King of Kings, and he is desperate to show his power to this world. And this nation has experienced some moves of God in the past, but how about we have a move through the church rather than some great preachers? Come and look how awesome we are. How about we move from here rather than come to here? That's the end time church, of which I'm still convinced end time is now. And I said that 4 years, whenever I was last year, and we're 4 years closer to that, just so you know. Don't come fight me about when he's coming. He's coming soon. If I'm wrong, we're close anyway. And I want to live like he is coming. And I want to believe for the end time harvest. And the harvest's not going to come if we pray. It's going to be us being his people, his hands and feet. If Jesus were here today, what would he do? What would Jesus do? WWJD? No, no, no. We don't have to guess what he would do. What did Jesus do? Let's go do it. Oh, you know, Tyron, I have tried to pray. No, no. The Great Commission, he said in Mark 16, he said that you lay hands on the sick. This is part of the Great Commission. He goes on and he says, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll drink poison. Don't drink poison. He said, you will. Don't go and prove it. Just, I believe he was saying you can stand on snakes. Don't go and do it. I mean, are you insane? Is that the mission? There's weird stuff out there. Don't be weird. This is not weird. We talk about being supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. It's not insane. Don't you be the weird one. Let the presence and power of God be the drawing card. What happens? He says, I believe you're saying you'll be protected on my mission. But not protected on anything you want to do, but on his mission, the Great Commission. And then he goes on and he says, and I love that then he left and it says, and his disciples went and preached the word wherever they went. And God confirmed it with signs following. Here's the thing. He told them to do it. If they never did it, he wouldn't have done it. But they responded, they went. And when they went, he did what he said he would do. The message is wrapped up. Now, I'm not asking this church to run after miracles because according to the Bible, signs and wonders follow us. And I know people who are after miracles. Don't be after Jesus. That's all that matters. It's Jesus Christ. But we need some miracles for people to see Jesus. The message, the method, there's an expectancy. Can I just tell you, again, we don't heal people. I think a lot of why people are not getting healed is because we are presuming. But if you look in Scripture, I think we first need to hear God. I know God wants to heal everyone, but He also needs to be more, a little more specific. So when I'm out there, I need to hear God. And there are times God said, go pray for that person. I'm like, oh Lord, surely not. Don't just walk out here and go pray for anyone and everyone. Friend, if they're going to, you're wasting your time. But you've got to be a little more attuned to hearing God. And you walk, and I believe that's what happened in Acts 3. They saw something in that man, and there was something of God on that man to say, go and pray for him. And so it's not like, be weird, oh, you're saying something, God's everywhere. No, no. Just be attuned to the Holy Spirit. And when God says, go pray. See, God initiates miracles. We cooperate with God. He doesn't cooperate with us. Are you there? If He initiates it, we can in faith say, God's saying it. Then you believe it. If He says it, you've got to believe it. If He says it and you don't believe it, you're not going to pray for anyone. But when He says it and you believe it, you've got to act on it. And that's where I believe the combination of His faith, or His stirring you and your faith, we begin to see the miracles God promised. People have to be ready and willing. Can I also just say, please hear my heart. I believe God wants to heal all people. I believe God can heal all people. Now this is where I get into trouble, but I want to just tell you, God doesn't always heal people. And I can't explain that to you, and you can show me in the covenant, I understand, in the new covenant, in the old covenant, and Jesus dying on the cross. I get it. But this I know, I've laid hands on sick people and they haven't recovered. It doesn't mean God doesn't want to heal. It doesn't mean God can't heal. It just means God doesn't always heal. And there's a mystery about healing that we better become a little more comfortable with if we're going to walk in His power. You know, we listen to who's the dude who kicked the baby across the thing? Smith Wigglesworth. Radical man. And I love all my friends who quote him. But do you know his book's this thin? His life was this long. And all that's in his book is the miracles that did happen. What about those that didn't happen? I want to read some what didn't happen. It stirs me to believe I can do this. Do you know that Smith Wigglesworth was, forgive me for being crude, oozing blood out of his body while he laid hands on sick people and they got healed? His own daughter died from disease. Now, I'm not saying that to justify. I'm simply saying, no, there's some not good stories too. Because if those stories happen to them, why can't then we also believe if they can have some healing, so can we. So don't just talk about what did happen. It's okay that things don't happen. And here's the good news. You can't heal anyone. And if you think you can, stop praying for people because they will never get healed. Jesus is the one who heals. But as He commissioned us in His name, here's the thing. We can go to conferences, and let me just get in more trouble, Mark, I'm sorry. But if we go to conferences and learn how to heal people, sorry. I want to tell you, Jesus, Paul never got saved and then got in an airplane and went to a conference on how to be a... I'm not mocking. I believe we can learn from those who have tapped into something. But it's not in your prayer. I've read the books on healing, and this is how to pray for healing. Friend, the book is so thick, I don't have time to read it and then still think I can pray for people. I'm not mocking. I want to learn, but let the Holy Spirit teach me. And here's what I want to say. The power is not in my prayer. Understanding a covenant. I don't understand the covenant at every. I just understand Jesus. I'm going to get in trouble, I know, and they're going to get right hate mail, but I'm just trying to liberate you, because if you have to know the prayer to pray for, you forget. I know people have said to me, Tyron, when it comes to praying for the sick, I forgot the prayer, so I won't pray for them. What prayer? What did we just hear about in Acts 3? This is the prayer, in the name of Jesus. Can anyone not say that? I'm not mocking. Anyone in this room not say in the name of Jesus? Okay, you've got the prayer. What's next? Go do it. I'm not mocking. And those of you who love those teachers on prayer, don't come fight me. I like them too. I'm trying to be simple here. Yeah. We've made this thing, this mystical, weird, chosen, frozen handful of gifted people. The rest of us just get to watch and spectate, and we wonder why there's no impact in our city. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said, I have said what I've done, you'll do. But the power's not in you, it's in His name. Yeah. If you don't know who Jesus is, you're not going to see healing. If you understand who He is, You can lay hands on sick people and they will recover in His name. God can heal. God wants to heal. But He doesn't always. Why? I don't know. Why is it this great apostle who people touched his handkerchief and they fell over said to Timothy, take some wine for your stomach. Why didn't he just speak healing or send a handkerchief? I don't know. Just saying, he didn't. Are you there? It's just there's a mystery. If you can't live with the mystery of God, then you can never walk in the miracles of God. I love this. It liberates. It takes the pressure off me to trust God. Say, hey, I know my dad. He was physically ill. He had to have a liver transplant. God never healed him, but he was laying hands on sick people and they were being disease free while he was sick. God never healed him. God gave him another liver from someone else's body, but he never created that liver for him. But my dad would never in those days doubt God heals. In actual fact, God used him to touch other people's lives all the time. So if you've had a bad experience, you can't write the fact off that God heals. The other problem is we blame the people, don't we? Most evangelists, if you don't get healed, it's your fault because you didn't have faith. Seriously. And I just want to back up and say, where's that in the Bible? Just saying. Why? Because now we've got these poor people who didn't get healed, who are sitting in wheelchairs. They're already unhappy. Now we're telling them, not only are you sick and diseased, you've got no faith. It's your fault. And we leave the town and move to the next to destroy it. Hello. There are times in Scripture where people got healed with no faith. How do I know that? A man with his four friends were taking him to the place where Jesus was. They unpack, they pull off the roof, you know the story, and they lower him down. Jesus looks at them and says, because of the faith of your friends, stand up, be healed, and forgiven. Not your faith. I see your faith. Stand up. No. Your buddies brought you here. You are healed. Next. So stop blaming the guy who was lying on the mat. Just saying, what am I doing here? My friends, get up and walk. Are you with me? I'm being honest with you. I'm just trying to crush some of this mindset that is religious. Mark, I'm sorry. Here's what I want to say. There have been days that I've prayed and fasted believing God's going to heal. My faith, I'm telling you, friends, where I feel like I can literally walk on water. And I've prayed for sick people and not one person has been healed. The other days, I confess, confessions of a pastor. Here we go. My job is to pray for people because I'm their pastor. But I've been in meetings where I'm exhausted. I've preached my stomach out, my internals out. And I just want to get home. I'm jet lagged. And somebody grabs me and says, would you please pray? I've got terminal cancer. I'm thinking, oh, I'm tired. I've just preached on you should be healing people. Why do I? I'm just being honest. The confessions, like I said. So I'm like, in the name of Jesus, please be healed. Forgive me. They get healed. Cancer, gross, gone. I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, this works. I'm not trying. I'm like, no faith. Just I have to because I'm the pastor. Being honest, not my faith. Clearly their faith. And everything in between. So stop blaming yourself. You don't have enough faith. Don't work your faith up. Just believe the word of God. Walk with the Lord. Say, yes, Lord, I hear you, God. I'm responding to you. Yes, God, I can. Are you with me, friend? Know what the Bible says. If you want to study the covenant of God and you understand the blood of Jesus and the whole, go for it. But don't let that distract you from praying for sick people. I'm convinced if we walk in a relationship with Jesus, not through our pastor, through my own relationship. Jesus was the mediator between God and man, not your pastor. Not some dude you listen to, not the book you're reading. Not some guy who walked in some great stuff. Honor those who've gone before, but glorify Christ. Recognize He has called us, handpicked us. You know, it's amazing. I'm landing right now. But you know, when Jesus started the church, He didn't pick one scribe or one Pharisee. When He started His revolution to save the world, not one scribe, not one Pharisee. Not one clever, But he took the unschooled, ordinary, and he took them and made them extraordinary in his power. Why? Why? That no flesh may glory in his presence. Ordinary, unschooled, but had been with Jesus. I'm convinced that this is a day for the demonstration of Jesus is alive. Go and tell it and go and show it. Let's bow our heads, please. I cannot talk about healing without giving people opportunity to be healed. All I have is His name. But I believe Him when He said, in my name you will drive out demons. In my name you will heal people's lives. Will be healed. He said it. As I read through scripture, I see people in His name doing this stuff. I'm unschooled and I'm very, very ordinary. But Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was raised from death to life. Died on a cross. He did not spill His blood, shed His blood with purpose for the sin of all mankind, for the atonement and the forgiveness as the perfect sacrifice that all people will have access to God and the forgiveness of sins. And within that, healed, delivered, and restored. And if you need physical, spiritual, emotional, relational healing this morning, would you stand up where you are? Would you just stand where you are? Would you raise your hands to heaven, you who are standing, please? In the name of Jesus. Let healing touch your body now. Be healed of sickness, of disease. Be healed emotionally, physically, relationally. However you need to be healed, in His name, be healed. Let that power that raised Jesus from the dead, now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch, touch. Just receive where you are, friend. You're looking at Jesus. Touch in Jesus' name. Heal your body. Heal. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch lives, Lord. We don't have to go and pray. You, Lord, are touching them right here, right now. Just keep your eyes on them for a moment. We are nearly finished. You know what's amazing? Just keep that focused on him. Jesus didn't pray for healing. There are headings in the Bible that say Jesus prays for healing. But Jesus never prayed. He spoke healing. He spoke healing. There was power in his word. And he taught us there is power in his word. I don't need to pray. I need to speak. And I come this morning in that power. His power. And I speak over you, sir and ma'am, and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be liberated this morning of sickness and disease, of depression. Be set free of the pills and drugs. Be set free this morning in His name. For His fame and His glory. Be healed, and my friends, go and lay hands on sick people. And go and be proving to them in this season that Jesus Christ is alive. And go and show people over Christmas that that in the manger was not a baby, but that was God. Fully God, fully man. And because He came, everybody can and should access the greatness of our God. Father, bless these people, I pray. If you do need just more prayer, can you just come to the front if you want to? I don't want to rush this, but I want to hand this meeting back, obviously. But if you feel like you just would like a couple of people to still lay hands on you, you're welcome to come to the front. And I'm going to challenge you, if you do come to the front, that those of you who have faith this morning, that God wants to use you to pray for these people. You want to action what's been said. Don't come prophesy, just come pray. Come speak life. Please, no prophesying today. Just laying hands on them. If you want to do that, you feel that, then come out, please, and join me. Father, we thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you for the Bridge Church. I'm so grateful for the history of this church. But I'm incredibly excited about this future. Not one day, but now. The Bridge being the Bridge. Touching lives, changing lives, healing. I want to challenge you, if you have prayed for sick people before and it hasn't worked, can I ask you in fresh faith to go and pray again? Keep praying. You cannot heal anybody. God never called you to heal. He called you to respond to Him and leave the healing to Him. Don't be weird. Go and be supernaturally natural. In Jesus' name.